What? There we go. All right. I'll get you all up and around. You know, last week with the celebration of Shavuot, we experienced the conclusion of the spring cycle of Moedim, or God's appointed times. In fact, I had mentioned that Shavuot is really the end of the spring festivals. They're kind of just tied together because Shavuot is really the ending of the Passover season. It started at Passover and it just ends that season of feasts and God's appointed time. Now, the first three feasts that we celebrated, the Passover, the unleavened bread, and the first fruits, were fulfilled in the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. Then there was that 50-day pause. And during that 50-day pause, remember, we had been counting the Omer. For 49 days, we counted and counted and getting closer and getting closer before Shavuot came. Then Shavuot come and the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God, is manifest among the body of believers and renewed within our life. But the next cycle of feasts that's coming soon is Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. That is the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. But in between, we're now in a period. It's a long, hot summer. And during the long, hot summer, all the crops are watered. Otherwise, they'll die. They're watered, they're nurtured, they're looked after, they're taken care of. In order to make sure that at the end of those 4 months that we're going to reap a great harvest. You don't want to be working all those months and all the planting and all the sowing, and then when it comes time to reap, all you have is dust. You don't want it blowing in the wind. You want a good harvest to take place. And that's what we're in. We are waiting for that harvest, aren't we? But in between, we have that pause. It's a long pause. But we now exist today. And it kind of echoes what Joshua was saying earlier. We now exist, as it were, between Shavuot, the outpouring, the giving of God's Ruach, and Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. We're in between that period. So we're in that midst of a pause right now. It's actually a long pause. It's 4 months between then, or the Shavuot, and the great harvest that takes place in the fall. But in terms of us as believers, we're waiting for that time. We're in that long pause before the great harvest, the snatching away or taking away of the body of Messiah. We also know that as a rapture. But I kind of like, and I shared that about a year ago, it really means snatching away. That each one of you are going to be snatched away. It's kind of like God's going to reach out his hand and snatch this one, and then reach out and snatch that one, and then he's going to take them all to himself and just kind of hold them in his arms and take you to be with him. I like that snatching away. Praise the Lord. So as a result of the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah on Yom HaBikurim, on the Feast of First Fruits, and the outpouring of the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, on Shavuot, the followers of Yeshua were so convinced that there was going to be a later harvest, even a greater harvest that was going to come. They were willing to invest everything, even risk their lives, give everything to the Lord in belief of a great future fall harvest that was only right then and there seen with the eyes of faith. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, with our eyes of faith, we know and believe that that harvest is coming. Sometimes we get discouraged because it seems like there's a long pause. There's a long waiting period between now and when that snatching away and that harvest is going to come. But he tells us to be patient and wait. that 4 months, that long pause between Shavuot and Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, was occupied in the gathering of the harvest. And that's where we are today, the period of gathering in the harvest, between now and the return of the Messiah. Whenever that's going to be, and I don't know, we should be working on gathering in the harvest. That's what God has appointed each of you, to begin to gather in the harvest. The souls of the earth that need to be redeemed from their empty lives to a right relationship with God. We need to snatch them out of the fire and get them into the kingdom of God. You know, as I mentioned last Shabbat, last Saturday, Yeshua alluded to this. He kind of gave a clue to this pause period here, this four-month period between Shavuot and the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh and the Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, the harvest of God's people. If you have your scriptures with you, in John chapter 4, verse 35, John 4, verse 35, this is what it says. This is Yeshua speaking. We read in John 4, 35, "Do you not say," and we just saw that on the screen. You can go back, Josh. Go back to the last slide there. May not be the same translation here, but "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." I guess it was. Messiah Yeshua is telling us to open our eyes. Look at the world around us. Look at the world that's before us. It's ripe for the picking, and it's ripe for the harvest. I remember when we were in Israel, Irene and I, to visit Josh when he was in the IDF. We saw some of the Messianic congregations, a lot of young people in Israel, a lot of young Jewish people excited for the Lord. There was a fire there. There was an excitement there. I wish it's been, gosh, it's going to be 11, or it's been now, it's like 11 years ago. The last time I was in Israel, it seems like forever. Who wants to go with me? Yeah? Okay. Would be nice, wouldn't it? That we all go on a trip. Are you all saving your money for that? Yeah. Start saving. That would be great if we can go on a trip together, wouldn't it? But we saw that in Israel it was ripe for the harvest, ripe for picking. Lots of young people excited about the Lord. Not just a few, but hundreds, maybe even thousands that were ripe for the Lord, who are ready and prepared to start gathering in the harvest. They realize that they have been sent by the Lord of the harvest to gather in all the crops. So I believe we're really in exciting times today. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Matthew 9, 35, it says that Yeshua went through all the towns and he went through all the villages. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching the Besorah, the good news of the kingdom. And he was healing every disease and sickness. Now, does it say there that he was healing just a couple sick people? Today he was just healing leprosy, nothing else. And tomorrow, maybe tuberculosis. That'll be tuberculosis day tomorrow. Does it say that? He was healing every disease and every sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. What happens when the shepherd disappears? The sheep are going to scatter all over the place. And we see that. We see that in churches. You see that in synagogue. Maybe the shepherd, the pastor, the leader, the rabbi of a congregation, maybe he takes another position somewhere and the people start to scatter because they don't want a new shepherd. Or they don't like the new shepherd. They only like the old shepherd, so they're just going to start wandering around. Or maybe something happened. Maybe the shepherd or the rabbi, you know, got sick and he's dying, or he got killed in a car crash and the shepherd's gone, so all the people begin to just disappear and scatter. Yeshua is our good shepherd. Then he said to his Talmudim, his disciples, "The harvest is ready, it's plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field." And that's so true. There are so few who are really willing to work the harvest. You know, it's not easy. Irene and I were watching an old movie the other day. I think it was with Sally Field. I think it was Norma. Is that the name of it? Anybody remember? Or was it? No, Something of the Field. That wasn't that one. Places in the Heart. Was that it? Nobody knows? I don't know. But anyway, Sally Field, and she had 70 acres of cotton. And they had to have it all. Places in the Heart? Places in the Heart. And they had to pick all of it within 72 hours. Otherwise, she'd lose everything. And they were picking. But nobody wants to go out there into the field and work because it's hard. It's dirty. It's sweaty. It's a lot of work. And that's the same with people who call themselves believers. They don't want to go into the harvest field. That is, go out into the world and preach the good news and talk to your neighbor and talk to the person you work with and people on the street and share with them the good news, the Besorah, the good news of Yeshua, because you'll get dirty. It's hard. It's tiring. And people just don't want to do it. But Yeshua is telling you here, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Send out workers. So I think the Lord is talking to each one of you. Your workers. Go out there into the harvest field and bring in people. You know how churches, how synagogues, how they grow? Because you bring people. You tell people, "Hey, I love this place. That rabbi, besides being extraordinarily intelligent and handsome, you know." No, I'm just kidding. But you bring in the harvest. It's up to you to do that. But where is our compassion for the lost? Where is it? What should we be doing when there are so many ripe for the harvest? Why are there so few workers willing to pick up that winnowing fork and gather in the harvest? Why is that? Are we asking the Lord of the harvest to show us our part in his end time plan to bring the world into his kingdom? Do we ask the Lord, "Lord, what is my part? What is my role? What am I supposed to be doing, Lord? Am I just supposed to be sitting there and watching TV and Netflix and YouTube and all those things? Is that my part, Lord?" Well, a lot of people, that's what they do. Instead of going out there and harvesting, they'll just go sit in the couch and get the bag of potato chips and the pretzels and start watching Netflix or whatever you're watching and other stuff. God has more for you than that. Yeshua has equipped us, all of us, you and I, to take that message of Besorah HaGe'ulah, the good news of redemption, to the lost and a dying world. Listen to what it says in the book of Luke, chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. "When Yeshua had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority." That's two Greek words. Power is dunamis, and exousia is authority. He gave you that power and that authority. And I love that word dunamis. I've mentioned it many times before, but maybe some of you haven't heard it. Dunamis, that Greek word for power, is where we get our word dynamite. Comes from that Greek word dunamis, dynamite. So God promises you that he's going to give you dynamite. Anyone remember that? Okay, he's going to give you dynamite. He's going to give you that power. And that authority, what authority is that? Authority like a magistrate has authority and a police officer has an authority, right? They have authority to do things. A police officer, he can carry a sidearm with him. He has authority to arrest. He has authority to protect and guard and all these things. So the Lord wants to give you that dynamite power to act with his authority to go out there and heal. It says here, to drive out all demons, to cure all diseases. And he says he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. We also read in Luke chapter 10, the next chapter from that, starting at verse 18. Luke 10:18 says, Yeshua replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Can you picture that? Satan being cast from heaven, whoosh, cast down to the earth. Falling like lightning. Wow. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you, he's talking to each one of you here, authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits, the demons, submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's or in heaven, or the Lamb's Book of Life, you can say as well. Now, there are some religious sects and cults who take this literally, where they actually go out barefoot and they put poisonous snakes on the ground, and they, trample on them and jump on them and this and that. The problem is it's a dying sect. That's a joke. Actually, there were numbers of people getting bit by snakes and dying or getting extremely sick or almost dying. We're talking about this in the spiritual sense here. He's giving you authority to defeat the evil one. That's what he's saying. You have the authority to give Satan a black eye, to punch him in the nose, give him a bloody nose. You have the authority to do that, each and every one of you here. That nothing will harm you. You can tell him where to go and how to get there. God has given you the authority to do that. And you don't have to be afraid of them. You don't have to be afraid of the spirits. A lot of people think, oh man, I'm afraid of Satan and the demons and all those spirits and stuff. They're going to hurt me. They're gonna get inside of me and I'm going to become a zombie monster or something. No, you have the authority. Shouldn't be afraid of them. Satan, get thee behind me. That's what you need to say. Get behind me, you liar, you murderer, you thief. Be gone. You have that authority and that power to do that. And you shouldn't be afraid of him. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right? So you take authority over him. And it says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Also, we see in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the same power and the authority given to the apostles, given to the disciples, that has been shown and utilized by the people of God for the last 2,000 years is available for you here and now today to do these things. Because Yeshua doesn't change. He was the same 2,000 years ago. He's the same today, and he'll be the same forever. Lastly, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it says, holy, 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 kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. That means he's the same thing. Who was, that means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who was, who is, and who is to come. This is showing us that same power, the authority that raised Yeshua, our Messiah, from the grave is available for you and me today to appropriate that to touch a world that's lost and dying. That same power and authority given to the Talmudim, the disciples of Yeshua, to manifest the glory of God is ours as well. All you have to do is appropriate it and use it and not be afraid. You know, some people say, well, I'm afraid to confront Satan. He's powerful. He's too strong for me. No, you're stronger than he is. He's weak. That's why he uses deception and lies to trick you, because he's weak and he knows that he's defeated and he knows that he is lost and he knows that his time is short. So he'll try to give you all sorts of lies and tricks, whatever, to deceive you and make you scared. But he's a liar and he's a father of lies. And he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Yeshua has given you life that you may have it to the full. That's the promise that you have in our Messiah and our King. In fact, Yeshua said in John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, he said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Can you imagine that? That you and I could do even greater things. You know, Yeshua was in a certain region of the world. He was in and around Jerusalem and surrounding areas his whole life. He affected a small group of people there. But those people took it all out. But we are many. We are many. We can take that good news and that power, that authority and healing and all of this. We could take it to the four corners of the world. In that sense, we can do even greater things. The body of Messiah is all over the world. Our arms are stretched out everywhere. Our tentacles, our fingers reaching every aspect, every nook and cranny of this world. All we have to do is reach out and touch somebody for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, this scripture I just read, this not only goes for the above, but for you as well. It says, ask for anything in my name. If you need healing, God will heal you. If you need a repaired marriage, God will repair your marriage in the name of Yeshua. If you need a job, God will give you a job in the name of Yeshua. If you need an automobile or you need a truck, God will give it to you in the name of Yeshua. If you need an answer to prayer, if you need a miracle, you can ask anything, and he promises that he will do it. In the name of Yeshua, each and every one of you here today, receive what you need. Trust in him with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. For the path of the righteous is led of God. Let him lead you and guide you and direct you on the path that he has for you. And God wants you to be healed. God wants you to be restored. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be all that you can be for the kingdom of God. You just have to receive it and accept it in faith and know that he has good for you and not evil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, thank you. So Yeshua wants us to take this message, the Besorah HaGeulah, that good news of redemption, to a world ripe for harvest. Yeshua always stressed that the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is near. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, as you go, Yeshua said, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He said in Matthew 10:27, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it on the roofs. This talks of boldness. God wants us to have boldness for the kingdom of God. God did not call you to be timid and weak and scared. I mean, if you go up to someone who's lost and someone who's dying and they're sinning, you say, excuse me? Do you want Jesus? Don't be timid and shy. Don't be afraid. Speak it out boldly. Yeshua is Lord. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He's the one that will deliver you. He's the one that will set you free. He's the one that will get rid of that alcoholism, that drunken problem you have, the drug issues you have, the immorality in your life, the pornography. God is the one that will deliver you and save you. There's no other name which a man may call upon under heaven which he may be saved except that name of Yeshua, the Messiah. That's what you proclaim with boldness to the world. And in Matthew 10:32 it says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. This is speaking to us about love and courage and faithfulness that God wants us to have. Lost love for the lost here. Courage to speak it out. Faithfulness to believe what we're saying. And believing the crop. Matthew 10:38-39 says, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is speaking of the fact of total commitment. Commitment even unto death. And that's not something we like to hear about, even unto death. But when Yeshua called you, it wasn't just for a season. And it wasn't just to do a couple things. And it wasn't just for you to do what you want. It's to do what He wants for you, no matter what the consequences. If Yeshua is calling you to do something, don't worry about your life. Worry about fulfilling God's purpose in your life in obedience. You know, Yeshua always stressed in his message the urgency to preach and to gather in the harvest because the kingdom of God was near. In Luke 10:9, he said, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is both a present reality and also a future hope. You know, in the last days, I always say that we're in the last days, but how long the last days are, how long they will last, I don't know. I don't know when Yeshua is coming back. All I know is I need to be right when that day comes. And that kind of gets me nervous sometimes. You know, what if I was doing something wrong when the Lord came? For instance, what if my wife and I, we were having a big brawl, you know, just yelling and screaming at each other. She was throwing pots and pans and dishes at me, you know, and I was cussing her out and all of... Hey, wait, this is fictitious, okay? Don't go telling people that you should hear about Rabbi Yossi and his wife, how they fight and argue and how she beats him with pans. And no, don't go do that. But what would happen if the Lord came during something like that? Boy, that would be awkward, wouldn't it? It would be kind of rough there. Wow. But it's coming soon. But in these last days, there's going to be two great gatherings that take place. One is the harvest of the righteous, and the other is the gathering of the wicked. Listen what it says. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 14, because there's a good amount here. Revelation 14, starting in verse 14. Revelation 14:14. through verse 16. Now this appears to speak of an ingathering or harvest of the righteous, or a reaping of souls and the gathering in of the redeemed of God. In this passage, white refers to or speaks of purity, and gold speaks of royalty and victory. And it says in Revelation 14:14 through 16, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. So this portion here is speaking of the harvesting of the righteous. And right now, I'm praying that it means everybody in this room and many others that we touch, when that scripture will be fulfilled, when we, that sickle will come and we will be reaped, snatched away, snatched, and you snatched right off from this world. But listen what it says starting in verse 17, the very next verse here. This appears to speak of a gathering in of unbelievers and wicked ones on the earth for judgment. And in this passage, fire stands for judgment, and the winepress and grapes speak of divine wrath, and the blood speaks of death and destruction. Verse 17, another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the grapes from the earth's vines, because its grapes are ripe. And the angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress out of the city, and the blood flowed out of the winepress, out of that press, rising as high as the horses' bridles, for a distance of 1,600 stadia. That doesn't sound like a harvest of the righteous. God is judging here the wicked. But you know, it is our responsibility, your responsibility, my responsibility, to ensure that as many people as possible are part of that first gathering, of that harvest, and not part of that last gathering, not part of that judgment there. In Matthew 28:18, which ends the book of Matthew, we read Matthew 28:18. Then Yeshua came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, and he's talking to you now in this room, go, you, in this room, go and make disciples, Talmudim, of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That means forever, that He is with you. And here we see Yeshua is commanding us to make Talmudim, to make disciples, and to bring them in to the harvest for the final ingathering. You know, Yeshua is coming back without a doubt. I don't doubt that at all. And we can be assured of that fact. As we spoke in John 14:14, do not let your, as spoken in John 14:14, where it says, or actually, John 14:1-4, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, in other words, there's enough room for everybody. For all of us, there's plenty of room. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you and 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 you. He's coming to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you, right here, may also be with me where I am. You know the place to where I'm going. That's the question. Do we know the place? It's the kingdom of God's heaven that He has prepared for us. You know, we need to be ready for that day. You need to be ready. It can happen any time during this long pause that we're in, between now and when the Messiah returns. It can happen any time during this long pause between Shavuot and Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. Yeshua made it very plain in Matthew 24 that we as the bride of the Messiah were not to know the day or the hour of His wedding, or of our wedding, that rapture, that snatching away, our joining to be with Him, that we were not to know that time. When the bridegroom, when Messiah would call for His bride by surprise at a time when she or us were unaware, we're to be ready at all times, waiting, hoping, getting ready for that day. But we need to be clean and pure and holy as we wait faithfully for the Messiah's return. We need to get our life ready today. You don't have time to wait for tomorrow or for another day. That's the problem with many people. They think, I always have the time. I can decide some other day or some other time to receive Jesus. But you know what? The Lord may call their soul that very day. And they did not have that time. We need to get our lives ready today and not wait for tomorrow to put our affairs in order. Just concluding with the scripture from Titus 2:11 through 14. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for that blessed hope." Patiently, people, we wait for that blessed hope. That blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Redeemer, the Goel, Yeshua, the Messiah, who gave Himself to redeem us, just as like a kinsman redeemer we read about in the scriptures, from the wickedness, all wickedness, and to purify for Himself a people who are His very own, eager to do what is good. You know, the early body of believers had an expression, a cry, that the second coming of the Messiah would soon take place. In fact, there were even inscriptions in some of the caves where the early believers would hide. There was an inscription that would say, "Maranatha," which means, "Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly." Let that be our cry and let that be our hope. Lord, come quickly. You may say, you know what? I don't want the Lord to come quickly. I have my whole life. I want to enjoy my life. I want to raise my kids. I want to get married. I want to have babies. Da, 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 da. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you.